Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since
How long ago was it? 2018.
I was hoping that I wouldn't mess that up since it's just going to happen.
It's going to happen.
All right. Yeah. So, yes.
Now is not the time to get good at the show. With like three episodes to go.
Well, yeah, that's right. Oh, gosh.
So, yes, in case you missed it, we are winding the podcast down after six wonderful years.
Yes.
Just feeling that we have covered most friendship problems and we really enjoy it, but it is, you know, time consuming. And as we've said many times, we make not $1 on this.
Not a dime.
I don't know. What do you think? Should we start a GoFundMe and have our listeners like pour money in? So we keep, no, we're not going to do that.
No, because I would use that money to like renovate my home. I don't think I put it into the podcast to buy that wallpaper.
The wallpaper is expensive. We're just sharing wallpaper choices with each other before we started recording. And because we are twins, essentially, we have the same taste. And so we're exchanging links and I'm holding up swatches for Joss to see. Don't send us any money in the hopes that we'll go on, because we won't. We'll just go out for pizza and wallpaper.
Yes, it's true.
Oh, dear. Well, I really like this next letter, so I'm gonna give it a read and you can weigh in on it. All right. Hi, gals. I've been tuning in and really enjoying your insights on how to navigate the challenges of friendships. I'm a woman in my early 50s and still haven't got it all figured out. Ha ha. Hey, you know what? Same.
Yeah.
I would really appreciate your advice on how to proceed with my own dilemma. I am part of a friend group made up of a handful of wonderful women who all have the commonality of leaving a certain high demand religion. We meet up here and there for lunch or coffee or at each other's homes to listen, share, laugh, and commiserate together. We've been friends for a couple of years now, and I really enjoy being part of this supportive group. A certain woman from this group, I'll call Catherine, love bombed me in the beginning, and even though I'd known a few of these ladies already, Catherine is the one who really introduced me to the group as a whole and initiated my inclusion in it. She and I would sometimes meet for lunch outside the group just to visit, and she would often call me up to share what was going on in her life, doing most of the talking. I felt an abundance of interest and attention from her to me, which felt kind of good, but left me a little wary for some reason. Mm. I should add that during our friendship, my baby granddaughter was going through intense and scary health struggles, living in a children's hospital. I was often with my granddaughter in another state to be with her. And in the beginning, through it all, Catherine seemed very interested and compassionate regarding our family's challenge. Then one day, she and I were out for coffee to catch up with one another, and Catherine acted kind of strange and a bit aggressive with me. In conversation, she called my two sons assholes and told me I was in a, quote, patriarchal marriage, unquote, which I disagree with. I got out to my car and just sat there feeling very uncomfortable with the way she'd spoken about my family. I had shared some things with her that were challenging for me in some regards, but felt unhappy with how she spoke about my family members. I sat on it for a week and then decided that Catherine was my great friend and would want to know if she had hurt me, like I would want to know if I had hurt her. I texted her that I loved and valued our friendship very much and that our last conversation had left me feeling sad. I even apologized to her, telling her I felt I hadn't represented how I really feel about my family, taking the blame on myself for creating a space where she felt comfortable calling my family bad names. I felt good about my message to her, telling her in no way was I mad, and ended with telling her again how much I love and appreciate her, and sent it. She responded back with how glad she was that I let her know and that she would never want to hurt me, etc., etc. And then she ghosted me completely, like forever. I reached out to her 6 different times after that, inviting her to do things with me, and she would always come up with a short excuse on why that wouldn't work. She had been so close to me, and I was left so hurt and confused. Our friend group would still meet up, but either Catherine wouldn't show up if I was there, or it didn't work out for me when she was there. 5 months later, I finally called and asked if, quote, we can please meet up so that I could listen and understand better, unquote. She agreed and spoke at me for 45 minutes in a confusing kind of convoluted manner, so that after the phone call, I thought, I don't even think I like her. Gaslit me in the beginning of our phone conversation, telling me I shouldn't be worrying about something so silly when my own granddaughter is sick. Then just giving excuses about how she's been busy lately. Then finally telling me that I had hurt her feelings by sharing that I'm uncomfortable having her call my family names. She told me that she didn't need this drama in her life. Apparently, my setting a healthy boundary with her was seen as drama. Well, I thought her response of completely ghosting me was what I'd call pretty damn dramatic. She then told me how I should just keep coming to the lunches because all the other ladies just adore me, but the way she said it didn't make me feel good, like she was jealous. Mm. My granddaughter ended up passing away. Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry.
It's so horrible.
And all my friends from our group reached out in kindness, coming to her celebration of life. Except Catherine. Oh, not boy. Only did she not come, which I understand, we can't go to everything, but she hasn't even reached out in a simple text. I'm so hurt and have no interest in having her as a friend any longer. But my question to you is, when our group does meet up for parties, gatherings, lunches, etc., how do I go about this? I love all the other ladies and feel that they love me back. I've never shared any of this with any of them because I'm trying to be mature about it all and don't want to gossip. I feel like these other ladies all love Catherine and haven't seen this side of her from what I can tell. It's just all so uncomfortable and I'm blown away at her immaturity. Sincerely, baffled and hurt.
Wow. Wow. First of all, condolences in the passing of your granddaughter. That must have been a dreadful time for you. Like a really dreadful time. I'm very sorry.
Just wrenching. So
yeah. I applaud that you haven't told anyone else in the group about this. Yes. I think that's great. And I also applaud the text you sent her. It sounded like, based on what you said here, you said all the right things. And the only thing I have about that is I wouldn't have texted because texting can cause so many misunderstandings. But it sounds like from what you said that the text was said all the right things and that you were very intent on maintaining the relationship, just really setting a boundary, which I completely understand. You can't run around calling, like I can't call dearest son an asshole.
No, you can't. I mean, your first loyalty is always to your kids. And you know what? Even if your kid is an asshole and you have very different beliefs or something, you can say it.
No. Yeah, no one else does. Who does that? That's why I'm laughing. It's just so ridiculous. As to your question, and I'm sure Kristen has other things to say, but your question is you go to these parties, these gatherings, the lunches, and how do you do that graciously? Mm-hmm. Graciously. Always is your priority. You go, you act like the elegant, gracious, poised woman that you are, the same woman who did not spread this gossip to the other friends in the group. And when you see, what were we calling her, Catherine? Mm-hmm. How are you? How have you been? How's the family? Lovely. And carry on with the other women. Just gracious, gracious, gracious. I promise you this. If you've had an issue with Catherine, other people have had an issue with Catherine. Mm-hmm. Just saying that. Okay.
Yep. That was what I was going to say, that eventually one of the women in the group will share with you that she has been hurt by Catherine and it seemed to come out of the blue, and you will hear your own experience echoed back at you. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you know, depending on who it is and your closeness, you can say, you know, I've had a similar kind of experience and I'm sorry that you're hurting. And you can be sympathetic and empathetic without being a gossip.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I remember having been through something like this, and someone else had had the same experience with a friend. Mm-hmm. And she came up to me and she said, I hear you're going through something with, you know, your own version of Catherine. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's not something I'm really comfortable talking about, because we were friends and also colleagues. Mm-hmm. And she said, I understand. I just wanted you to know you're not the only one. Mm-hmm. And I said, thank you for telling me that. I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we were both really classy about it. Mm-hmm. If we had simply been friends and this hadn't been like an intersection of work and friendship, you know, we probably would have talked about it more.
Yeah.
As women are prone to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, it is very comforting when you have had an inexplicably unkind experience with a friend. Mm-hmm. To know eventually that someone else had it too, that it's not just you. Mm-hmm. And you think, you know, Catherine has shown you exactly who she is. Who doesn't send a condolence note after the death of a child?
No matter the issue, a condolence note is the way to, what is wrong with this woman?
This woman is horrible. Mm-hmm. You are well rid of her. Mm-hmm. I think you were incredibly kind. I think that if you look back on your friendship, you will see that there were signs. Mm-hmm. Before, and she did love bomb you, which is something narcissists are famous for doing. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, your granddaughter is something for a narcissist. It's not about her in any way.
Yeah.
She can't make it about her.
Yeah.
So it doesn't happen. It doesn't exist in her world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, you also said she would always do most of the talking. Mm-hmm. And so you were a very convenient sounding board, new friend. I'm sure Catherine is the kind of person who accumulates and discards friends with regularity. And I think, you know, your life will be better without her. And as Joss said, you're gracious, you're brief. Mm-hmm. Catherine, so nice to see you. What a pretty necklace. Mm-hmm. That's it. You don't have to explain yourself. If she's like, listen, I've been meaning to talk to you, you say, oh, I appreciate that, but now is not the time to get into it. And then you're never available.
Yeah.
Because the bottom line is she was unkind to you when your granddaughter died. And that is unforgivable. And I don't care what your religion is.
Yeah.
She has not asked for your forgiveness. You can let it go.
Yeah.
You don't have to say, oh, it's okay, because it's not. It's not, and it never will be.
Yeah, no, that's beyond the pale. It's, you know, a condolence card, no matter what issue has happened between the two of you, was the very least she could have done. And she didn't want to do it. I do want to congratulate you, though, because you did say in the beginning that she love bombed you and it felt great, but you also felt wary and you couldn't figure that out. Well done for having great instincts. That is your gut telling you that something's not quite right. So well done for having those instincts. And again, I can't tell you how good it is to hear that you didn't spread this around. You weren't telling the other ladies in the group. You've been very classy, very gracious about everything. Just continue to keep doing that. Yeah. And I promise you, we even put it in the book. There's a trail of bodies behind Catherine, who she's done this all to before. I promise that's what's happened. You're just the latest person that it's happened to. Yeah.
Agree 100%. Now, this situation did remind me of another situation in my distant past where I had a really wonderful friend. Mm-hmm. And we had a great history together. I met her at my very first job out of college. She was a few years older. You know, she came to my wedding. I went to her first baby shower, et cetera, et cetera. And then I was pregnant. I was not yet a mother. And I had a baby with profound birth defects who did not make it and was a stillborn. And it was the most devastating experience of my life. And my friend just disappeared.
Mm.
And I was shocked and really upset. And eventually I reached out to her because I heard through another friend that she'd had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I heard you had a baby. I sent her a card and she called me and she said, "I'm so sorry that I haven't been in touch. I was pregnant when this happened to you and I just didn't know what to say.
Oh God.
And I should have said something and I knew it and I just couldn't bring myself to say it and then add, by the way, I'm pregnant."
Mm-hmm.
"And I did the wrong thing."
Mm-hmm.
"And please forgive me." And I said, "Okay." And honestly, it was okay.
Yeah.
Because she owned it. She acknowledged it. She acknowledged my hurt.
Yeah.
Pain and loneliness during that hard time. And she asked for forgiveness. She screwed up.
Yeah.
And that's why I always say it's so wonderful to be able to apologize, because to this day, she's still one of my best friends. And that happened 30 years ago. If she hadn't apologized, we would not have had a friendship that has lasted more than half of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So people can be forgiven. People do screw up. People, you know, but this is not Kathy.
That. Yeah.
This is not Kathy. She called your children assholes. She criticized your marriage. And then she didn't show up for you at what was probably one of the most difficult and saddest times of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, she only ghosted you because she didn't expect you to stand up for yourself. Your text was lovely, probably poised, gracious, as I said. She wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
And she didn't know how to respond to that except to ghost you.
And then later on, she said, "Well, actually, you hurt my feelings."
Yeah, that's classic.
Another narcissist thing.
Yeah, you know? That's the gaslighting portion.
It's not. No, so. I did. You did. You know.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So, I feel like you have a very high emotional IQ.
Mm-hmm.
You were careful with her. You let her in. You know, for some time, her friendship did bring something good to your life. And then it stopped, and it's okay to be dealing with it. So good for you, and I hope that your family will continue to heal and honor that little girl.
Yeah, it's so sad. And don't worry about the friend group. You know what you do? Pretend it's like a professional thing, like you're going to a conference with colleagues, and that will help you to... It will remind you of how you should behave, because when you have to be professional at a conference, it's different than if you're just seeing a bunch of your gal pals. So if you think of it as this professional thing that you have to deal with, and then when you encounter her, you know exactly what to say. Right. And then you can turn around and carry on with your other friends.
Right. And, you know, and then that the day will come where you will be validated in your experience, because someone else will say, "I don't know if this happened to you, but I suspect it did."
Yeah.
And, you know, it's happened to me too. And that, you know, you already know it's not you. It's Kat, but it's a bit comforting to know, you know, you're not the only one. So take good care of yourself and keep on living your life.
Mm.
Joss, would you like to hear my embarrassing personal problem?
I've been waiting with bated breath.
Well. So I recently started taking hot yoga.
I read your blog. I'm sorry. I read the blog and I pictured it all in my head. Like, you barely had to write it. I could picture it all.
Yes. So I did blog about this. So if you're interested, you know, just go to my website and click on blog. It is very entertaining. But the embarrassing thing comes from my latest class, the easy class. So I contacted the owner of the studio, and I said, you know, I've done yoga for years, and I, you know, but I, like this one said, it was like entry level hard. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, hovering at the precipice of death. And, is there anything a little less hard than entry level hard? This, you know, reminds me of the time that I was kicked out of the beginning dance lesson. Cause I was like, you know, but this is a beginner's class. And they're like, yeah, you're not ready. So, so she wrote back and she's like, it's great that you're coming. And you know, there are some teachers who are harder. So try going to this lady who's easier, and it's a, you know, you'll find like more of your peers, meaning older people, middle-aged people. And, cause I was in a class with, you know, 20 somethings.
Yes.
The good part of that is like, it's just fun to watch really beautiful, fit people.
Yes.
Exercising. And the sad part is obviously that you know, your body keeps getting in their way as you pull. But so I went to the easy class, and I'm using the word easy very carelessly. The woman, so I, you know, I was in the back. I learned my lesson. I thought being in the front might be helpful so I could see myself and correct, but no, just being in the back as invisible as possible is where I belong. And it definitely, I think it takes a while to become familiar with the teacher and what she's telling you to do. But once again, the teacher was like balancing on her fingertips and she wrapped her leg like around, defying gravity and physics. You know, it was like her leg was made out of rubber. So I am trying, you know, and, you know, in the beginning of every yoga class, they're like, set an intention this class. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it's like flexibility or peace, calmness, serenity now. For this one, it was confidence. And so I'm like, no, confidence. Now I'm gonna do the fingertips leg wrap.
Yes.
Myself.
Right.
I don't even know how to explain it. And then I'm down on the mat, like in a quasi push up with one leg off the ground, wrapping that leg around the other leg. And I fell and I knocked the very fit, very tiny woman next to me. I just one arm just gave out and I just toppled and like rolled into the skinny little lovely woman next to me who probably weighed 100 pounds, and she went flying. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. She's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. I was just so humiliated. And the teacher had to stop the class. So the two of us could get back on our mats.
Oh God.
I unfortunately, when I had that momentary boost of confidence from son for encouraging me to try something new, I had registered for several classes, and now I have to go again.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
I think I should just like watch from the lobby and try to go into this.
That is why I don't do yoga, because I know I can't balance anything on my fingers. Nothing can be balanced on my fingers.
No, I mean, I wasn't balancing on my fingers. I was just like, you know, attempting to without breaking a bone. But, you know, it's for now, I'll keep taking them. Maybe just because it's winter. And, you know, the other night it came out, it was like 20 degrees and it felt so good.
Yeah, right? Sweaty mess, and you
detoxifying, right?
Yes,
and then invigorated by the fact that I'm still alive.
yes, I feel that way every time I come home from one of my personal trips.
Right, I survived.
Yeah, I survived.
That show, Joss, we should be on. It's called "I Can't Believe I'm Alive." People those near-death experiences, like being mauled by a grizzly bear or having your leg bitten off by a shark or going to yoga or the gym with Kristen and Joss.
Doing like a really, really abbreviated plank. Like I'm practically standing with the plank and it's still killing me. Practically standing and it's still killing me.
They should send the cameras like to interview us. Like how did you survive this, Miss Biggins?
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, check out our book, Crappy Friends, The Ultimate Guide to Female Friendship.
Send your friendship letters to the ladies at crappyfriends.net.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends. Forever.
Forever.